KCW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Another Trump cabinet pick, newly resigned Congressman Matt Gaetz, tapped to become Attorney General.
He is a member of Congress who has closely tied himself to Donald Trump. His loyalty to Donald Trump is unquestioned. Think about Matt Gaetz this way. Matt Gaetz was a longtime friend of Ron DeSantis. And in this Republican primary for president not long ago, he picked Donald Trump over his good friend Ron DeSantis. His loyalty to Donald Trump is paramount.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Gaetz at the center of a sex trafficking investigation by the Department of Justice that was later dropped. Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat turned Trump loyalist, has been tapped to be the next director of national intelligence. President-elect Donald Trump returning to Florida following his meeting with President Biden in the Oval Office yesterday. It's been described as cordial. There's a new district attorney in Los Angeles, which means the efforts to get the Menendez brothers released from prison will be impacted. This is ABC News. Wisconsin legislators looking over new video that could be of a kayaker who vanished over the summer. ABC's Andrea Fujii says police think he actually ran off to Europe.
Video on social media featuring a man who resembles a father of three who allegedly faked his own death is now under investigation by authorities in Wisconsin.
I go to Uzbekistan or stay here.
Say that one more time.
Content creator Bailey Boomhauer says she shot the video in San Diego in June. She recently alerted police that the man looks similar to Ryan Borgwart, the married father reported missing while kayaking in Wisconsin back in August.
Police say before disappearing, Borgwart took out a new life insurance policy and moved money to a foreign bank. Amazon's trying to take on low-cost online stores like Temu and Shein with one of its own. Amazon Haul will launch a week from today with what the company says is a broad selection of products, all priced at $20 or less. I'm Shiri Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram Jr. joins me. Will Eric Hovde ever concede? And we'll do a rundown of Trump's current cabinet picks. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You love your home. It's full of memories from the past and even more memories to be made. When you're ready to spruce it up, contact AF Construction. AF Construction will talk to you about your addition ideas, like a relaxing three-season sunroom or expanded living space. AF Construction, your local hands-on remodeling contractor, offering line item estimates and eye-popping results. For your free consultation, visit afconstructionllc.com. Get ready for a remarkable new look.
The JR Sport Brief.
Alabama's not winning a national championship.
The Volunteers are not winning a national championship. Georgia doesn't look good enough to win a championship. Now, Ohio State, I consider them to be realistic championship contenders. Texas, realistic championship contenders. All those other teams I just told you about in the SEC, they're missing a few things.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Well, it's been rainy here in Kansas City. Good Thursday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report checking in this morning from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention here in Kansas City. Boy, when we got here on Tuesday afternoon, it was sunny, 70 degrees, almost a little hard to take after coming from Wisconsin. Today, it looks like it'll taper off a little bit in the Kansas City area. Temperature's probably around 50 degrees. That's much the same as we're going to see in Wisconsin. Little bit of a possibility of rain this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies and 52 are expected high. Tonight, cloudy down to 40 degrees. Friday, sunshine on the way. Looks like temperatures will top out around 53. I'll let Stu give you the rest of the weather details when he joins us in about 15 minutes. Catching up with Congressman Tom Tiffany this morning. Did you know that some proposed streamlining in the U.S. Postal Service could actually compromise service, especially for rural citizens? Stephanie Hoff is going to bring us that update. And we're doing one more harvest check with our friends from Asgro DeKalb this morning, finding out how things look for them as they close the books on 2024. Stick around.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
As harvest is coming to a close, farmers are taking a look back at the year, and some have a difficult decision to make. This being whether they should get new tiling in their fields. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and I'm joined by Troy Alsma, a sales representative for the Kartechner Brothers, and he's explaining what the demand is looking like and how throughout the year it has changed, as well as some reasons why this change has occurred. Alsma is also explaining how long it may take to get around to tiling your land if you want it done, as well as the best time to reach out to them in order to make sure that this tiling gets done in a timely manner.
The demand was a little bit higher this year for sure. You know, a lot of guys kind of forgot about how wet spring can be. We've had a couple drier springs in the past, and then with having a really wet spring this year, kind of reminded some guys on how important tiling was, and definitely had a lot more interest throughout the summer, you know, looking at drowned out spots and guys, you know, looking into making the investment with tile this year.
And I'm sure some of them were holding off because it's been drought the past couple of years, and then finally got a ton of rain this spring, got them late in the field, and they probably finally said, well, now let's do it. Let's get this field tiled.
Right. Yes, exactly. They said, you know, yeah, maybe now is the time, because you can't really expect, you know, a dry spring every year, and almost got to expect that wet spring. And it's nice to have that tile in and be able to plant a little earlier and get that crop in the ground.
So you were mentioning that you do have a higher demand this year. About how much of an increase in demand are you seeing so far this year?
hard to say exactly, but definitely a higher increase over the past 2 years was this year. But with commodity prices being a little lower this year, that has, you know, backed a few people down, got a lot of people, you know, interested in doing it, but they're still looking for that paycheck at the end of the year. Makes it a little tougher to commit to it.
With this higher demand you're mentioning, even though some of it may have tapered off a tiny bit, do you think the industry, the tiling industry as a whole, has enough manpower to be able to get all the tiling done that's needed this year?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Yeah, there's enough guys around, and yeah, we're still looking for work too. We got two tile plows and crews available to work this winter yet. So yeah, I would say there's enough demand, and there's enough guys to fill that demand.
And as a tiling company, when you go and take a look at how much tiling you're going to need to use, what are the factors you look at to determine how much tiling is going to take for each field or piece of land, especially with an increased demand this year?
Yeah, that depends on, you know, how many problem areas there are in the field. On the larger problem areas, you know, we'll tighten up the spacing, which will, you know, obviously allow more footage to be in that field. Or if you're going with a, you know, pattern tile across the whole farm, you know, you're looking at that, you know, 1,000 foot per acre, 1,500 foot per acre, depending on how wet the ground is.
And as we take a look at where you're doing all this tiling at, is it located more in like southern Wisconsin or central, or is it pretty well spread out across the state? Is there a definitive place where you're doing more tiling than others?
I would say it's still pretty spread out. I've had a lot of interest, you know, from the southern part of the state, and I mean, even north. It's kind of all over for us, so it's definitely spread out.
Well, and as you say, it's spread out across the state for demand, but the southern part is mainly crops, but the northern part has other various things. Who's asking for this tiling? Who's the main demand for this tiling?
Oh, I would say all parts. I mean, we service vegetable growers, you know, onions, carrots, all that, potatoes, you know, sand ground even. But yeah, a lot of your corn, soybean, wheat producers, we service them as well. But then a lot of dairy farms by us, that's very popular. You know, they want to make corn silage, and their haylage harvest go as smooth as possible, and they need dry ground for that. So we see a lot with the dairy industry as well.
And as we look more into the future, some economists are saying that the ag industry is going to recession. How would this affect the tiling industry as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it would get to that point, yeah, obviously it would affect the tiling. Even though, you know, some guys, you know, see it as a necessity to, you know, help ensure that crop gets in the ground and does what it's supposed to.
Well, and if people are listening and they want to get some tiling done in their fields or around their farms, how long could they expect to wait before someone's able to get out there to get that tiling done?
As far as, you know, we kind of have a process where we got a, you know, me or another sales representative will have to come and, you know, take a look at the field, see what we're all kind of after, and then we can work on getting a proposal put together. And that typically doesn't take too long. And then as far as us actually getting there to do the work, that kind of depends on where we're at in the year. You know, we're kind of just getting into the start of the heavier tiling season. So, you know, we're a little bit behind on, you know, we can't get there next week, obviously, but working on our schedule, and the sooner you can get on the schedule, the sooner we can get there. But you can expect, you know, within a couple of weeks, I'm sure we can definitely get there.
When you take a look at this year, we had a really wet spring and it turned into a drought here later in the fall. How did this weather change affect how Kartechner Brothers plan for the tiling season here after harvest? Did it change throughout the year? Was there you thinking it was going to be a lot higher and then it got lower, or did it stay pretty similar? Just could you give us a look into what the planning looked like throughout the year?
Yeah, we definitely prepped a little earlier than normal, and we got as many jobs done even during the summer that we could. And then as soon as crops were coming off where we could get in, we've definitely tried to sneak into some fields. Definitely have a lot to go yet, though.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the industry or the supply and demand as we move further into the fall here for that you would want listeners to know?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, we definitely have time yet if people are still, you know, on the edge of thinking about it, thinking if if they're too late. I wouldn't say that that's the case. We definitely have some time in our schedule that we can fill up yet. So if you're thinking about it, yeah, feel free to give us a call and we'll get you directed over to whoever to talk to and we can take a look at it.
Well, and if listeners want to get some tiling done yet this year, around what before what time would you say they would want to contact a tiling company in order to be able to get their tiling done before the ground gets too frozen and it starts snowing and it becomes harder for you tiling companies to be able to get out there and get the work done?
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously earlier in the year would be better. I mean, we like to have, you know, some of this stuff on our radar, you know, definitely throughout summer. And sometimes you kind of need to see the field after the crops are off, but we like to do as much research as we can, even via satellite view and just taking a look at it ourselves to see what we can do just to get on the schedule and get the ball rolling with the tiling.
This year has been very strange for farmers, with a wet and muddy spring transitioning into a drought for many. Alsma says that farmers are really going to need to take a look at what is a necessity, no matter if they're vegetable growers all the way to dairy farmers. It will be increasingly difficult for row crop farmers with uncertain future spring weather, as well as the prices taking a dive, causing lower and in some cases negative farm incomes. He encourages farmers to take a look at the books and see if it fits into their budget so they can make sure they can get their crops into the ground in the spring to get the best and longest growing season possible. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
Now, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
Who do you think is the best speller, Jim or myself? Find out as Amy Herrick from the Fox News Chamber joins us and talks civics.
And Frank Hermans returns for an update on his holiday show. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
Good news is we're in climate-controlled space as opposed to having to be outside. Although being outside today in Wisconsin doesn't look too bad.
Not too bad at all, Pam. Of course, a little light rain, and that's still going to hold on around eastern Wisconsin for a few more hours. But we've been drying out from northwest to southeast, and we indeed expect further to the west and northwest some sunshine to break out later today. And even though some clouds and a little rain have been around, upper 40s will be high in the northwest and around 50 or so in the southeast. Very mild, almost mid-November temperatures in store. Low pressure still passing to the south, like I've said. Some rain in the east, a little patchy fog there as well. But we'll all begin to dry out. More sun possible in the west. not so much in the east yet today. And then skies clear out a bit for Friday. More sunshine in store Friday and Saturday as well. And those temperatures will continue to moderate. Remember, our normal highs are just in the mid or somewhat upper 40s. I mean, we're talking we could head to the mid 50s for Saturday. But there's going to be another system passing off to the south. Some slight rain chance late Saturday or late Sunday in southern Wisconsin. As we wrap up Sunday night, head to Monday, that rain chance could spread further north in Wisconsin. So that chance of rain redeveloping as we look on toward the early part of next week. But again, I don't expect it to be a lot. We're not going to flood it out. We're not going to see record amounts of rain or anything like that. But that precipitation certainly will be the possibility. It's ending for the day today, and we'll begin to dry it out. More mild temperatures around then, right on through Friday, Saturday, and even into Sunday, although a few more clouds are expected then. Still sounds very pleasant in this middle part of November. And if you're able to see it last evening, that moon getting to near full, we'll see it here at the end of the week, and I expect on toward late Friday a better chance to have some clear skies. Maybe we'll see that full moon as we get the new weekend underway as well. I'll be back with our forecast details right after this.
Ah, the seasons change, and so do the offers at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the crew at Bavaria Sausage, located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Hey, listen, hunters, I know you're getting ready for your fall experience. Don't forget, Bavaria Sausage, ready to help you create some fantastic food products with what you harvest. Check out their website or talk to them personally. And if you're not paying attention to the calendar, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And again this year, Bavaria Sausage offering you whole turkey options from locally grown sources. Just remember, get your order in today so that they can guarantee the supply is ready for you. Phone number 608-271-1295. That's 608-271-1295. Let the holidays begin early at Bavaria Sausage.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above-ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
So, of course, today we still have some rain, even patchy fog in the east and south, starting to clear out a bit further to the west and northwest. Cloudy skies further east and south. Now I expect upper 40s in the northwest, closer to 50 or so in the southeast. North winds will be around 5 to 10. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, generally holding on. Expect that nighttime low in the upper 30s and very low 40s with northwest breezes at 5. Mostly sunny Friday, a little nicer, upper 40s, low 50s, especially in southeast Wisconsin. Winds will become northeast about 5. And even Saturday, partly sunny skies, a few more clouds start rolling in. Almost everybody will be right about 50, mid-50s in the south as well. And the south winds on Saturday about 5 to 10. Now, I did say that slight rain chance in southern Wisconsin Saturday night. And then more likely later Sunday night on toward Monday, statewide, some scattered showers a possibility. Still with some very mild temperatures. I mean, that new week starts out with low and mid-50s, if you will. Very, very mild weather, even to start on into the second half of this month and start us thinking more about, well, the deer season coming up a weekend from now does appear to be not really too wintry or too much like a lot of folks would hope for that deer hunting season. So, Pam, take it easy on the inside today and make sure you learn a lot. We're glad you're taking a good time at the convention. And, of course, we're going to be happy to see some fair weather around here. And that's going to continue as we head on toward the weekend.
You betcha. Thanks, Stu. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, with a quick update on what's coming your way weather-wise around Wisconsin. Well, coming your way after the bottom of the hour this morning, we are talking about changes being proposed to the U.S. Postal Service that could really negatively impact people that live in rural communities. Stephanie Hoff's got the details on that. Found out yesterday that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has released its guidelines for changes to the federal milk marketing orders. That's kind of a big deal in Wisconsin. Actually, it's a big deal wherever there are dairy cows. We'll give you a quick update on what's going on there. And one more harvest season update for you coming from DeKalb Asgrove. Stick around for all that on a Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another Trump cabinet pick, newly resigned Congressman Matt Gaetz, tapped to become Attorney General.
He is a member of Congress who has closely tied himself to Donald Trump. His loyalty to Donald Trump is unquestioned. Think about Matt Gaetz this way. Matt Gaetz was a longtime friend of Ron DeSantis. And in this Republican primary for president not long ago, he picked Donald Trump over his good friend Ron DeSantis. His loyalty to Donald Trump is paramount.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Gaetz at the center of a sex trafficking investigation by the Department of Justice that was later dropped. Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat turned Trump loyalist, has been tapped to be the next director of national intelligence. President-elect Donald Trump returning to Florida following his meeting with President Biden in the Oval Office yesterday. It's been described as cordial. There's a new district attorney in Los Angeles, which means the efforts to get the Menendez brothers released from prison will be impacted. This is ABC News.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled, sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but
you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost 3 games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media's own Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, joins us at 11:06. All things sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Showers will gradually end this morning, but it is going to stay cloudy here most of the day today. Our high right around 50 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 53. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 54. Showers, 57 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
Really impressive, and you mentioned kind of the night as a whole.
I've been a little bit, maybe a little disappointed with some of the fans showing so far at these first few games.
Pretty light.
I'm expecting a major atmosphere Friday night. I think it could be a special night in Madison.
Yeah, same, dude. Yeah, John Tanje. I don't know, because people keep calling in. They're like, I don't know who's on the team. I don't know, like, who to cheer for. You can look at John Tanje, man, and it's like, this guy's, what is it, AJ Storr, $1.2 million for Kansas. He scored 6 points last night. He falls out of the game. John Tanje, I think, was under, like, $500,000, I think, coming in. The rumors, anyways, for NIL money. This guy, I think he's going to be pretty damn good for Wisconsin throughout this entire season. I like what he brings to the table. Like, it's a nice addition for losing AJ Storr, is it not?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree anymore. And I think what's impressed me so much, actually, we got to speak with him at local media day, even before we got to see these games, he's kind of got a really, like, humble, you know, hardworking, focused mindset.
I know it might be hard to believe in this era of emails and text messaging that somebody is actually still waiting and watching for the postman or the postwoman. But I'll tell you what, in a lot of rural communities, that's still very much a part of our tempo of life. You'll want to listen up. Stephanie Hoff visits with Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany about some proposed streamlining within the U.S. Postal Service that really could disrupt mail delivery specifically to rural communities. That's one of the stories we've got for you on a Thursday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, checking in this morning from the 81st National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention here in lovely Kansas City. Let me tell you, so today is the 14th day of November. If my folks from our recent farm tour to Cape Cod are tuned in today, on this day back in 1851, Moby Dick makes its debut in the United States. Remember, that's the epic novel by Herman Melville about Captain Ahab's quest to find and kill the great white whale Moby Dick. Well, it didn't have a lot of commercial success when it was published, and we talked about it a lot on our East Coast farm tour because Herman Melville basically put that book together based on gathering stories from other fishermen. Moby Dick debuts on this day in 1851. And happy birthday this morning to King Charles III. He is 75 years young, and now you know. The harvest is wrapped up, thank goodness, and now we need to evaluate what we accomplished in 2024, use it as reference information going into 2025. Our friends from DeKalb Asgrow are joining us today with some insights that you might want to take to the field next year. Hi, Reed Gill joining us. He is DeKalb Asgrow's technical agronomist in southwest Wisconsin. So give me a little bit of a perspective, Reed, on what you saw as you wrapped up some of your plot harvests in 2024.
Yeah, there was a lot of variability out there throughout the growing season. We saw a good response to side dressing or split applying our fertilizer when it comes to nitrogen out there this year. Had really good responses there with a lot of that rain. It kind of moved some of that nitrogen throughout that soil profile. So being able to have more available at certain times, having it applied multi-times, I guess, throughout the year really paid off for us in certain areas.
Anything in the DeKalb Asgrow lineup, Reed, that you are particularly happy with given the weather-related challenges?
Yeah, we have a couple numbers out there, DeKalb's 101, 33, and 35, and 56, 26, and another one is 106 day, 106, 98, had solid performances across the state there. And a lot of it's got to do with the right traits on the right acres.
Yeah, give me an example on some of that, because you're right. We have to slow down and evaluate each one of these individually and based on the field it's going into.
Right. So when I look at putting the right trait on the right acre, a lot of it's got to do with what was planted there last year and what kind of insect pressure we had out there last year so that we can set ourselves up for success in the spring next year. Yeah. So we do a lot of corn rootworm beetle trapping. You know, seeing where those adult females are going to lay their eggs over the winter or in the fall, and then they would overwinter in those fields. So knowing what trait to put on that field for next year is going to make a huge difference in performance.
Boy, and that's information that most growers don't necessarily gather themselves or maybe even think about. I'm sure that's something that you're going to be bringing up when you start looking for pre-2025 sales, huh?
Right. A lot of this happened here in fall and August and September, putting those traps out there and seeing what kind of pressure we had out there. But if there's any kind of concern, you know, we offer the SmartStax Pros and the VT4 Pros for that next level of protection when it comes to corn rootworm feeding. But also our Terceptas and our VT4 Pros also have another trade in there for, say, Western bean cutworm that we've seen more predominant in the state here year over year. And a lot of army worms actually have been coming up more and more frequently than we've seen in past years.
Yeah, and earlier, Reed Gill's along with us. He is the technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrow. So now give me a couple notes, a couple points that farmers should keep in mind as they plan for 2025. Reed, like we said, we can't predict the weather, but we can try to strategize around it.
Right. You know, harvest started fast and furious here with silage. And then the weather was cooperative. We ran right into soybean harvest. I think the earliest we've been down here in the southwest corner is September 11th. And we got rolling right in there, no rain, all the way through corn season here. But at the end of the day, a lot of guys were trying to do some tillage here in the fall, and the ground was hard enough, as dry as we were. They were having trouble with that. Now we've got a little bit of rain. You know, guys are going out there and getting their tillage done. Remember, a bad job in the fall from tillage is still better than a good job in the spring. So make sure that we get a good job done here in the fall when the weather cooperates. It's still early enough to do a good job.
Yeah, saves us time, like you said, on the front end of spring for sure. Anything else in particular, Reed, that you want folks to kind of bear in mind if they're already starting to map out 2025?
No, I mean, the biggest thing is to treat your fields right. Know if you need above ground protection only or if you need to make sure that you've got some below ground protection from the corn rootworm beetles out there.
Yeah. So, like you said, and the details are definitely going to matter, not only as they did this year, but, you know, given the margins we're looking at 2025, those details, paying attention, it's going to matter. And Reed Gill's one of the guys that's around to try to help you make the right decisions before we get near a field in 2025. He is the technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrow joining us today. I'm Pam Yonke.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. So yesterday in Chicago, we saw the barrel cheese drop another half a cent to 168. 40-pound block cheese on Wednesday, down 2¾ cents to 169. Double A butter, though, that gained 3¼ cents to 263 a pound.
On the close yesterday in Chicago, December corn was down 2 cents at 426.5. March corn was down 2¾ cents at 437.5. January soybeans finished on Wednesday down 2¾ cents, 10.07¾, with November new crop beans next year down 3¼ at 10.28¼. December wheat was down 11¼, settled out 541. July new crop wheat down 10½, 574¼. The December class 3 milk that goes into cheese was down 27 cents, 1874, and January was down 23. Hey, speaking of dairy, more of our Wisconsin dairy farmers are going to be hearing about the federal milk marketing orders. Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture finally released their long-awaited decision on reforms to the pricing formulas used in the federal milk marketing order. I saw Tim Trotter here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. I was talking with him about their reaction. He said not all their proposals were included in the final decision, but they believe more can be done. But right now they say they're satisfied that the changes don't negatively impact dairy producer members of Edge Dairy Cooperative. Of course, he's the CEO. He said they believe the proposed reform would slightly decrease the minimum regulated price private milk buyers have to pay to pooled milk producers in the Upper Midwest order and would slightly increase the price to producers in the Central and Midwest East orders. So in that case, he said, we can pretty much expect the impact on milk checks after accounting for impact to over order premiums to be neutral or positive. And now dairy farmers and dairy cooperatives will have an opportunity to vote on adopting these changes in December. But remember, you either adopt or the federal milk orders go away. That's a point I'm sure many dairy cooperatives are going to be making with their members, and independent processors hopefully will educate their dairy producers as well. And, of course, we'll do what we can to make sure that you understand the ins and outs of what's going on with regard to the federal milk marketing orders and the reforms that USDA has approved. Up next on a Thursday morning from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Stephanie Hoff is going to join us with a story about how streamlining services from the U.S. Postal Service could negatively impact folks that live in rural Wisconsin. That's on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a case likely destined for the U.S. Supreme Court, a federal appeals court struck down a Mississippi law allowing receipt and counting of mail-in ballots up to 5 days after Election Day. Pro-voter groups are fighting back. A three-judge appeals panel in the notoriously conservative Fifth Circuit Federal Court ruled October 25th that federal law does not allow any state to extend the receipt of ballots after Election Day, including in-state ballots or the UOKAVA mail ballots used for overseas military and diplomatic personnel. The panel allowed the counting of those ballots for the 2024 election, but sent the case back to a lower court. Despite 20 states offering a grace period of varying lengths, U.S. Circuit Court Judge Andrew Oldham wrote, "Federal law does not permit the state of Mississippi to extend the period of voting by 1 day, 5 days, or 100 days. Pro-voter groups asked November 8th for a reconsideration in front of all Fifth Circuit judges, but the case is likely to be ultimately appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. For now, the ruling applies only to the Fifth Circuit states of Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. But an adverse ruling by the Supreme Court's conservative majority, which often throws precedent out the window, could impact millions of voters at home and abroad who depend on mail ballots." We have links to the case documents and other reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Shannon Simon from Cedar Crest Ice Cream, who will help us make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Susan Kaya Schlusser from the Wisconsin Historical Society joins me, followed by filmmaker Nathan Deming.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Rural areas are going to see an additional day for delivery. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany helped pen a letter to the USPS about the impacts that longer delivery times will have on rural residents. He has the details.
The Postal Service, in an effort to stem the losses that they've had, which has been in billions of dollars, and this has been going on for a long time, they're trying to streamline the postal the delivery service for the U.S. Postal Service. And but I have real concern, along with a lot of other members of Congress, that they're going to leave rural America behind. And amongst things like, if you're more than 50 miles from a processing location, for example, like Green Bay or Madison or Milwaukee or Minneapolis, that you're not guaranteed delivery in a timely fashion. And I don't think it should be that way. I think they can accomplish this without disenfranchising rural America.
So I'm reading that the United States Postal Service's plan is to also eliminate the evening mail pickup.
That is correct. They are looking at eliminating, I think it's the late afternoon pickup time. And so, you know, that has real world impacts. For example, somebody, you know, let's say a farmer that's using the mail yet to send bills or whatever, does a bill get paid late? And that farmer ends up paying late fees. We've heard stories of, you know, the Postal Service delivers chicks in some instances. And we've heard of stories where there's been delays by the Postal Service that those chicks have died. I mean, it's those type of things. And I've really heard it here in northern Wisconsin in regards to some of the periodicals like weekly newspapers and others, where we've seen significant delays, and that is a serious problem when stuff like that happens.
We're approaching the holiday season, so obviously mail's going to pick up as we're sending gifts, buying things. Do we have a timeline on when the USPS will make these cuts?
We have not heard. We're hoping that they're going to take into consideration our comments that are coming from members of Congress, and they're coming to them on a bipartisan basis, and that they'll reevaluate what they are considering doing here. I just think in this era that that they can do both. I think that they can deliver the mail, and they can deliver it in a timely fashion while becoming more efficient. And so we're hoping that they will take another look at that, at this problem that they have, and that they'll still respect the needs of rural Wisconsin and America.
Can you underscore for us just how many people rely on the United States Postal Service, either nationally, if you have numbers, or in your very rural district in northern Wisconsin?
Oh, it is in the tens of thousands. I mean, people use certainly email has taken over, and bill pay to a large extent. People are more and more online, especially young people. But there's a lot of people that use the Postal Service yet. And there's still a lot of newspapers out there that are delivered. I mean, I think about like the Country Today or Ag Review. I mean, those are delivered on a weekly basis, and they should be able to, they should get to those farmers and others that subscribe to them on a timely basis. And we are hearing that some of them, I mean, we have had so many complaints on this front from like weekly periodicals that are not being delivered at all at times and late too often. Those problems need to be fixed first and foremost. I mean, think about it. We're asking the federal government over the last few years to do all these additional things rather than the core things that should be done. Let's make sure Social Security and Medicare checks go out. Let's make sure the mail is delivered. And then let's make sure those things are funded first, that our needs, not wants, rather than going off and doing all these green energy subsidies and all the rest that people have not asked for. And so it's really important that the federal government get back to its core missions. And I think the Postal Service is one of them.
And we already listed a slew of things: bills, payments, holiday packages, chicks, in some cases, as you said, and medicine. I did reach out to the United States Postal Service for an interview. they declined. Their communications representative for our area said that any change they make will keep them within the 2 to 5 day service standard. USPS says that it's just 2 days will become 3 days will become 4, and so on. But Congressman, I know you are asking USPS to reconsider, but if their operational plan does go through, what happens next?
Well, I think Congress may have to go back and look at this. I don't know if a majority of the members of the Congress have the political appetite to deal with this issue, but I know we will be continuing to ride herd because I don't think that rural Americans should take a back seat in getting their mail delivered.
Congressman Tom Tiffany joining us, responding to the Postal Service's plan to streamline their operations. While the USPS says they'll save about $3 billion a year, it means that rural residents will have longer service times and no evening pickup. Congressman Tiffany was among a group of lawmakers to write the Postal Service with his concerns and how the
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Going old school to process biological waste like animal manure. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
We're going to learn a new word today, vermifiltration. It's a process of using red worms to filter manure wastewater and certain other waste streams to produce a more environmentally friendly outcome. Steve Rowe heads the California-based company Biofiltro, which has systems installed in the U.S. and 8 other countries.
If you take one of these worm beds and put it in between the barn and the lagoon, and you then filter that manure water through the worm beds, remarkable things happen.
Rowe says a typical large dairy would have a multi-acre bed of wood chips, worms, worm castings, and microbes processing the waste. And he says the beds are recycled.
And that harvested material of worms, worm castings, the degraded wood chips, and then this really active microbiome is harvested. And then that is placed back out on agricultural land and provides remarkable soil health benefits. Just an active microbiome truly feeding the soil, which leads to increased yields, healthier plants, increased nutrition of the plants that are growing. So it's a complete, wonderful, circular process.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at the Trump appointments coming fast and furious out of Washington, D.C., and what's happening closer to home here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month. Like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.